This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning, Pastor Brian de Villiers, as we gather around the Word of God, as we study the Word of God together this morning. We've been doing a series on the life of Christ. And I want to speak to you this morning about the message of his miracles. Now I want to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verses 1 to 6. And this is what it has to say. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So we've read these words together this morning, and I want to speak about the message of his miracles. There are two special reasons why it is important that in any study of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that time and thought should be given to the miracles which he performed during his earthly ministry. The first reason is that he so frequently worked miracles, and the second reason is that the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, gave such a large amount of space in giving detailed account of these miracles in their Gospels. The writers are emphatic that he did perform such miracles, and by a comparison of the four Gospels, it appears that we have the authentic record of at least 33 different specific miracles. How true it is, as someone has said, that the miracles are the warp and woof of the gospel. We must remember, however, that the subject of miracles has always given rise to discussion and, sadly, to argument. There are many today who tell us that they cannot accept the miraculous elements in our Christian faith. Often the miracles are explained away, and we are told that they are only parabolic of our Lord's power to change the attitude of men to the situation. But if Christianity is not supernatural, it is not anything very worthwhile at all, except as a very good system of ethics and no dynamic, a set of commands with no divine enabling, a pattern with no power, and an example with no energy. If the Christian life is not a supernatural life, it's a failure, because it is not new life at all. And then we must see the seriousness of denying the miracles, however, lies in the fact that if we cannot rely upon the biblical accounts, the very foundation of our faith has gone. If there are errors in the scriptures mixed up with the truth, how can we discern or determine which things are true and which things are untrue? The denial of the miraculous is heresy, and those who deny the miraculous are enemies of the gospel, who preach and teach another gospel. And we read about this in Galatians. We turn there to this morning to Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, and this is what it says. Paul says to those in Galatia, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? They want to pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are indeed blind leaders of the blind. They are caught up with the inadequacies of human philosophy and cunningly devised fables. And we need to understand that. What then is a miracle? A miracle in the Bible sense of the word is an extraordinary work of God transcending the ordinary powers of nature wrought in connection with the ends of revelation, wrought in order to reveal God to man and to achieve the purposes of God. Many miracles are recorded in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament we read of the apostles performing miracles. It is also true to say the miracles happen today. It is a simple matter for God to set aside or transcend the laws of nature if it suits his purpose to do so. After all, he is Lord of nature. The greatest miracle of all is the person of Christ. And anyone who believes in him accepts him in all his glory and dignity of his person will have no difficulty in accepting the miraculous element of his life and ministry. When we accept him, miracles at once become credible. Indeed, when we remember who he is, the miraculous works in his life seem to only becoming and natural. What then is the message of his miracles? What do they say to you and I today in the 21st century? I would like to just add this morning. You know, we talk about the miracles of Jesus, and I believe in the miracles of Jesus. I believe also in the work that God does through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of men and women. And I believe the greatest miracle of all is to be born again. When people come to a realization they have a need of a Savior in their lives and they commit their lives to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and be the Savior of my life. That is the greatest miracle, and I see it again and again. Every time I preach, every time I give an invitation, and people commit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the greatest miracle of all that I see of what God can do. But I want to share with you six things this morning about miracles. Number one, the miracles of our Lord were fulfillments of prophecy. If we read as we turn in Matthew's Gospel and we turn to chapter 8 and we read from verse 16 and 17, this is what it says to us, verses 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. We need to understand that. And you will see at once that this is made clear. The great value of the observation for us is that just as Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled literally in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and just as every other fulfilled prophecy has been fulfilled literally, so every unfulfilled prophecy will be fulfilled literally. When Jesus sent a message back to John the Baptist, was he not saying to him, are not these things a fulfillment of prophecy and therefore an indication that I am the Messiah? Let's go back to the verse we read this morning, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and we read again from verses 2 to 6. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are the coming one? Are you the coming one? or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. That's the words of the Savior himself. Number two, the miracles of our Lord were at attestations of his power, his lordship, his deity. Of course, the fact that he performed miracles did not prove that he was the Son of God or that he had come to earth on a divine mission. Satan can perform miracles. He does it today through the promotion of false systems of religion, and he will do it as far larger scale before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to be clear about that. But when we look at our Savior and observe his manner and his humility, and when we listen to his words and then his miracles, we have to say with Nicodemus and what he said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read these words found in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 2. And this is what it says to us. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Do you get that? Unless God is with him. The miracles of our Lord show forth who he was. We read in John's Gospel again, in chapter 2 and verse 11, the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And they are recorded that we may know that he is and that we might believe on him. We read again from John's Gospel, chapter 20, and this is what it tells us. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, we read there verse 30 and 31, and this is what it tells us. Verse 30 and 31, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You might have life in his name. Isn't that wonderful? Did not our Lord also have this in mind in his reply to John the Baptist? That's what he said to John. Look what the people are seeing. They see again. Jesus gave mention to that. And he says very clearly here in verse 2, and when John heard his prison about the works of Christ, he sent his disciples, and Jesus answered them, Go and tell John the things that you hear and what you see. How tremendous that is. Number three, the miracles of our Lord were demonstration of his great heart of compassion. Suppose we ask the question, what is the Lord Jesus like? We can answer these by quoting some of his sayings. For example, we can quote from Matthew's Gospel, and we read verse 28 and 30, Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's what we are told. My burden is light, which surely tells us that Jesus has a heart of love, a heart of tender compassion. But what more convincing proof of his love and compassion could we find in the fact of his miracles? He cleansed the leper. He made him clean again. He raised the widow of Nain's son. That's what Jesus did. How wonderful He must be then. Yes, he is wonderful in what he can do, in the power that was working in him and through him of God. Number four, the miracles of our Lord were illustrations of his saving work. Every miracle was a parable. When we see him cleansing the leper, we are reminded that he can cleanse the vilest sinner of all their sins. And that is what we are told if we turn again to Matthew's Gospel and we read there verses 2 and 3. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Isn't that wonderful? Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And when he raised the dead, we're reminded he gave everlasting life to all who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. When he stilled the storms on Galilee, his disciples were reminded that he's the one that can give peace to our troubled souls. We need to understand that. I want to read to you again from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And this is what Mark chapter 4 tells us as we read from verse 35. From verse 35, it says this. And on the same day, when evening had come, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and he was, and with other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the winds and the waves obey him? The winds and the waves obey him. Philippians 4, he says, Thou will give him perfect peace, who puts his trust in me. Perfect peace. We can have perfect peace in the storms of life. That's a miracle, perfect peace. And all that he did in the bodies of suffering humanity to show that he's able to do in men's souls as well. He can bring peace into your troubled situation. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you're carrying today, allow Jesus to speak again peace into your heart, to still your troubled heart, to trust him and to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the one that can help me. And then number five, the miracles of our Lord were verifications of the spoken word of his promises. Our Savior made tremendous claims. That's what he did. And we listen to what he says. We read here in John's Gospel again, and I want us to get this. John's Gospel, and I'm going to read chapter 6. From chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Chapter 6, and this is what it says to us. Verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I read again in John chapter 8, and this is what it tells us in John's Gospel chapter 8. And I read from verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What does Jesus say? There when Lazarus had died and Jesus went to see his sisters. And what does he say to them in John 11:25? He says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's what he said to them. Anyone could make these claims. But the difference is that having made them, he proved that he was indeed all that he claimed to be. And when we read again these wonderful verses, again, just to bring it to a close this morning, I want to read again from John, and I want to read John's Gospel, chapter 6. And this is what it tells me. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and I want to read from verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming to him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And there was so much grass in the place, and the men sat down in number about 5,000. The men alone, listen, there were others. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise all the fish as much as they wanted. And so they filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. And then those men that they had seen the sign that Jesus did, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." That's what they said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must never forget that. What Jesus has done, I want to say to you this morning, our Lord's miracles assure us that he's our sovereign Lord and he is our sovereign Savior. And I would like to say to you this morning, he's able to do it again. There's nothing impossible with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He does miracles all the time. And I want to say to you again, the greatest miracle of all is being born again into the family of God. When you open your heart, your life, and you invite Jesus to come into your life, will you do that today, wherever you are? Will you allow Jesus to come into your life? And there are those who are going through terrible trials and difficulties. Will you allow Jesus to speak into those situations? His peace, his calmness into your life, where there is sickness, to bring healing, his healing touch into those situations. I'm going to pray for you this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and what he'd done on this earth and the miracles that he's done. We thank you that he's able again today to bring peace and calm into our troubled situations. He says to you this morning, "Peace be still." And to those who are sick, he says to you, he's the one that can touch you. He can make you whole, because by his stripes we are healed and we are made whole. But our trust is in him, in what he can do. And the greatest miracle of all is to receive him as your personal Savior. Will you ask Jesus to come into your life this morning? Say to him, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the divine Son of God. I invite you to come into my life to be the Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you. I'm now part of your family on earth. Help me, I pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, as I live for you day by day, in Jesus' name." I want to say to you this morning, if you've made that commitment, why don't you phone Radio Pulpit, Cape Pulpit, and let them know about it. 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. They're waiting for your call. Or you can phone me, Pastor Brian, at 021-552-4096. 552-4096. Monday to Thursday between 9 and 12. God bless you. And have a fantastic day, knowing you have a Christ who is with you today. I thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.